Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us today on My Journey of Faith Radio, and I am Cynthia. I am excited to have you join us today, and we are talking about hope. Hope through in the ruins. You'll find out a little bit more about that later. But the things that we hope for, and in Psalms 39:7, it says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." And that is so true, because our hope is in the Lord, and that's the only place that it can be. Today I have Lori Borough with me, and she is a wife, a mother, and a grandmother nestled up in the quaint little town of in Illinois. She knows exactly what hopelessness feels like when she kept her well-kept secret of rage and attempted suicide locked away for 23 years. Her two sons went on a difficult path and had struggles with financial situations. And today, she knows the power of hope because she experiences it. And so today, I just welcome Lori with us. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
I am
with a message
too.
Of hope. So.
Pardon?
I'm excited to be here with the message of hope.
Yes, that is a message that so many people need to hear, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes just in the midst of a craziness of life. Why don't you kind of share a little bit about what brought you to knowing that true hope of God?
I'd love to. My faith journey involves some emotional pain that I had to walk through or crawl through or whatever you want to call it, but I had to go through some tough stuff and learn how to process that emotional pain. And I just am thinking of some of your listeners today that maybe they have experienced shame and guilt and hopelessness and anger, anxiety and uncertainty and betrayal like I had. Then they're going to be able to identify with my journey. So we can just go on this little walk together here. Even though, you know, yeah, our circumstances can be different, but our emotional pain is often the same. So there is hope in the ruins, and I want to share that today. I had two moments in my faith journey, where one where Jesus became my rescuer, and the other was where Jesus became my refuge. And I hope that we have time to just briefly touch base on those two things today. So growing up, I won't spend a lot of time there, but I was just in a loving farm family, normal, I call normal. I was loved and cared for, like hopefully many people are. But at 17, that part of my family life, it really didn't change, but something did happen to me that changed me on the inside. And I experienced what I call a personal 9/11. And that is the moment when our world crashes. And if you just have that image in your head from September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Towers crumbling to the ground, leaving all that destruction and hopelessness. Well, lots of times I've had those moments in my life, and I know so many other people have had that too, where I call them personal 9/11s. And so that left me any hope I had buried under tons of fear, unforgiveness, unmet expectations. And so I experienced what people call today date rape. And 40 years ago, people just didn't talk about stuff like that. I don't remember them talking about it. I wasn't tuned into it anyway. But I was dating this all-American guy. He was loved by everyone, very talented, athletic. And we spent a lot of time together. So one night he took me home, and remember I said I lived in the country, a farm family, so we had this long drive out into the country with no one around, and he stopped the car, trapped me inside, and he raped me. And, you know, the more I fought, the stronger he got. And now, I know, I didn't know this then, but now I've learned that rape or sexual assault is most of the time more about the power than it is about the sex. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, you know, it was about the sex, so I had so much shame. And it's really about the power. And that made sense, because the more I thought, the more empowered he became. So he took me home, and I never saw him again, and I never told anyone what happened. So I lived with all that shame, blame, and pain, and I did a really fast downward spiral. I started to not care about anything anymore, and I didn't want to live anymore. So, you know, suicide just became an option, I thought, for me at that point. But on the outside, I probably looked okay, like a normal teenager. But on the inside, I just was really hurting. So a year went by, and I graduated high school, so I packed up all my pain, and together we went off to college, and that kind of became a recipe for destruction. You know, it led to drinking and partying and some drugs. But at the end of my freshman year, I wanted the pain to end, and I believed a lie, which it is 100% lie, that suicide was my way out. Hmm. So, yeah, it was a really dark time. And at the very, what I call the very last microsecond, before I ended my, attempted to end my life, I had a fleeting thought. And it was just like this little tiny light shining through the cracks of my hard, self-focused heart. Because all I was thinking about was me. I wasn't thinking about anyone else. But I had this thought that my mom would think that my death was her fault. Just a short, fleeting thought. But what that thought did for me was made me hesitate, just for a second, and that's all I needed to do to change my thinking. That she would just think it was my death was her fault and I wasn't going to be there to tell her that. So, and it wasn't true. It wasn't her fault. It didn't have anything to do with her, but she would never know that, would she?
But we never think about the ones that are going to be affected, that are left behind,
no.
Do we?
You don't, and it's because your heart is so hurting, and you just get so locked up and so self-focused. And, you know, I just remember being there in that place. And so we don't think about those who were hurting. And I felt like at that moment I realized my death would be a slow death for her too, and I did not want that for her. So just in that moment of hesitation, Jesus that I heard about as a little girl, he became very real to me. And I will be honest, I was self-focused, like I said. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. And I think that, I hope that's comforting, you know, to people who have kids who are on the wrong path or being self-destructive, that, you know, Jesus is looking for them, even if they aren't looking for him. And I knew he was there to rescue me, to save me from myself. And just at that moment, having that whole different perspective just changed my life. And I wanted to live. So he was my rescuer. He's my living hope at that point. So I began getting into God's Word and going to church. And Jesus was the answer for me and my hopelessness there.
Let me ask you real quick. Whenever you started, you said you started getting into God's Word. How did you go about that? Was it just, let me sit down and start studying? Or did you just start reading it and letting it become real to you? What path did you take?
Well, I happened to be at a Christian college, and so there were lots of opportunities for, you know, church and just hang. I'll tell you what was the biggest thing. God brought me a friend that just kind of pointed me that direction and helped me understand the Bible more. And it was just started out being one friend that was just there for me and
so
got me into God's Word.
Be there.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I think lots of times we hesitate to get involved in with someone's life because we maybe haven't walked in their shoes. But, you know, if we have ever had any fear or anxiety in our life, we can probably relate to almost anybody in the world. And God's word is what does the work. You know, you just have to be available to be there and start living life together with those people around you. So, yeah, thankful for that friend that came alongside me and helped me on that.
Exactly, exactly. So he went from being your rescuer to your refuge?
Yes, he did. That was years down the road where I still kept my secret this whole time. Just need to back up with that a little bit. For 23 years, I kept everything a secret and relived my pain over and over. You know, even though I knew that I had hope and had the promises out of God's word, I still relived the pain. So I got some counseling and was able to learn how to process that. You know, Satan wants us to think in the middle of our messes that our lives are unraveling, but you know what? God doesn't work that way. With
exactly.
God, our lives our lives unfold. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, anything that happens to us is an unfolding process. Mm-hmm. And when our lives unfold, they become whole. So after the counseling, I was able to remember what happened without reliving it, and then I could start sharing my story when God healed my heart. Through that process. So my refuge. So then I had another 9/11 several years later. Our teenage son, we raised our kids in what I call a normal home, my husband and I were raised. But our youngest son started getting into some trouble at school around eighth grade, and by 18 he was in and out of jail a couple times. And by 19, we had the police at our door, ready there to arrest him. They charged him with two Class X felonies and put $200,000 bond on him and took him away.
Oh, wow.
And later we learned that he was going to look at 7 to 14 years in prison. So that was another 9/11 moment. And I fell into bed that night, just saying to Jesus, you know, I don't even know how to pray about this one. It's too big. And but this is where Jesus was my rescuer years ago, and this is where he became my refuge. Because he put Deuteronomy 33:12 on my heart. Deuteronomy 33:12. And having gone through the Bible, I knew that Deuteronomy was Old Testament, and I'm like, really? There's something comforting for me in the book of Deuteronomy? And I almost hesitated and didn't go there, but I did. I got out of bed, looked it up, Deuteronomy 33:12, and it says, "The one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders."
Mm.
The one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders, and I knew that I didn't have to pray. I could just rest. I just needed to press in and rest. In him, my refuge, and in his embrace. And so I did. So I woke up the next morning, and I had a different perspective, and I said, Jesus, I have you. I have hope. It's impossible to lose my hope because I have you. So where is it? And again, it's buried in the ruins. So I knew that I needed to process my emotional pain that I learned to do years ago. I knew how to. I had a way to do that. I knew how to do that. And I started processing the emotional pain to dig out from all the fear and uncertainty that I was feeling at that time. Chuck Swindoll, he's a best-selling author, Chuck Swindoll.
Right. Uh-huh.
He says, without hope, life doesn't make sense.
Oh,
and I needed hope to make sense of what was going on in our lives at that time. And really, it was the power of hope that got me out of bed every day. It was that power of hope that took me to the courtroom. It took me to the jail where I ended up going early and staying late because there were people there visiting their family members. They needed hope. So I saw the power of hope, and it helped me get through that difficult time.
So at that time, you were going and visiting your son, but not only that, you were helping someone else see the hope at the same time.
Right. My first visit was horrible. I cried the whole time. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything because I'd never been in a jail, and it was so scary. But after that first time, God just gave me this vision to see so many hurting people in that place. Mm-hmm. And I would get there early and ask God to bring me divine appointments and really try to reach in to other people's hearts with the message of hope. And a really cool thing was going on while I was out there in the waiting room getting ready to see my son. He was in his cell, 121, and Jesus became his rescuer. He became very real to him. He accepted Christ. And while he lived there those 9 months with other inmates, hearing their stories and just living their pain and understanding all their fears, they had tremendous fears of being released into society because mm-hmm. you are typically an outcast. Really hard to find jobs and find places to live, and you don't have any money. And so there's a whole lot of fear in getting out of jail as much
exactly.
as they want to be out. But God began developing in my son's a vision to provide transitional homes and programs for people coming out of prison and to help them be productive citizens and not repeat offenders. So interestingly, while Rusty was in jail those 9 months before he was sentenced, God was just growing and developing this whole vision in his life to do when he got out. And he, just like a pregnancy, he was in there 9 months. He went before the judge to be sentenced, and the judge declared that he had served all of his time and that he was free to go.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was truly amazing because he was looking at 7 to 14 years. But Rusty, as soon as he got out, he gave birth to that vision that was growing in jail, and today it's called the 180 Zone. And it is transitional homes, lots of programs and outreaches to people coming out of prison or homeless. And so it's been just an amazing, amazing journey and power.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Power of hope.
I last night in church, I heard this statement. It said, when we think life is falling apart, God knows it's falling together. And that's exactly describing what you're talking about. Life was falling apart, but he was putting it together.
It's just like a puzzle piece. They all fit together, all of the good things and the bad things. They all fit
mm-hmm.
together to create a passion and a purpose in each of us to build his kingdom. So while you're going through it, it's not fun, but to see it come together is really exciting.
Exactly.
Matthew West, I don't know if you've heard of singer Matthew West.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, he heard of Rusty's story and wrote a song about, inspired by Rusty's life. And,
really?
Yeah, it's on his new album called Into the Light. It's just been out this last year. So Rusty's song is called We Are the Broken. So it's an anthem for anybody who has been knocked down and gets back up, he calls it. And so it's really a great song. And, yeah, you never know what God's going to do. You just never know.
Exactly. Exactly. The things that God weaves our story, and like that poem, I think, by Corey Ten Boom about the weaver, where we can only see the underside and the dark threads, but God sees the upper, and then it's a beautiful tapestry at the end.
Every time I mention to somebody when they feel like their life is unraveling and I say, it's unfolding and it becomes whole, you just picture that quilt or that tapestry that you just talked
mm-hmm.
about, how beautiful it is when it's all finished and complete. And he sees the completed picture. We don't see that. So we have to, that's where our faith and our hope and our trust comes in, I guess, right?
Exactly, exactly. Now, you are also a life coach, helping people find their hope, finding their way, all because of Jesus. How do you go about that? I know you obviously share your story, but how do you help direct them to see their hope?
Well, it's a lot of exploring and discovery and just seeing what the puzzle pieces are. and asking, you know, the right questions. Sometimes it's just helping them, giving them the tools they need to get through some obstacles, like some emotional pain. I'm not a counselor, so I don't take them through the, walk them through it, but I can give them tools so that they can learn how to do that. And honestly, when you work through your emotional pain, your vision, your picture becomes so much clearer. If you're looking at life through a lot of hurt and fear and anxiety, you don't really see a clear picture of what God's doing. So I would encourage anyone to find a way, whether it's a counselor or getting your hands on some tools to process some emotional pain. And when you do that, I look at their gifts and their talents, and you know everything God created, put in them, their story, and we put all those puzzle pieces together to find their purpose and passion. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty exciting.
It's some of the things when people seem to lose their hope, it just seems so dark and kind of oppressing on them. But in your biography, you know, on your web page, it talks about you use honesty and humor in a heartfelt approach. How does humor come in?
Well, sometimes you just have to look at the funny side of life. And I just kind of sprinkle that around, you know, into my talks and put that together with some truth and hope, and it ends up with a pretty powerful message.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually developed, I call it the hope formula. And it's something that people can do every day. It's called H-O-P-E. And it gives people a really good balance in their life. So the H is for healing. Really look at your heart and process your emotional pain. The O is for overcoming. Understand your true identity and who you are in Christ. You know, that empowers you to take the next step, I guess you would say. The P is finding purpose in your pain. You know, see how God, look for ways that God wants to use all of it. And then the E is the enjoy a changed life. So that is, you know, find ways in your day where there's joy and blessings and just even little things. You know, it might just be the flowers and the birds and that kind of thing. But
exactly. You have to, you know, God gives us smiles, His smiles every day, no matter how hard the day is, they're still there to find.
And, you know, we get focused on the ruins instead of looking past that to the hope that we have. So
that's exactly right. Well, speaking of that, you have a book that is out that you've just released, and it is called Hope in the Ruins. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I wrote this little book. It's not real big. It's about 56 pages, but it's for the person who has experienced a personal 9/11 in their life, and they feel like their hope is buried under fear, unforgiveness, and unmet expectations. So I take a really good look at those three things, fear, unforgiveness, and unmet expectations, and give them some tools to dig through all of that debris and find hope again. So I combine psychological insights and kind of fuse that with faith. And what happens is this light bulb goes on in people's minds and hearts, and they're like, oh, I see, I get it, you know, and why I'm doing what I'm doing, or, you know, what God's purpose is in it. So it's pretty exciting to see the two come together.
That's neat. Lori, we only have just a few more minutes left. So what I want to do with this 5 minutes that we have is just give you the opportunity, if you were sitting across from a woman that kind of has lost her hope or has just, you know, can't grasp it right now, what would you say to her? And then also include how our friends that are listening can find you.
I would say there is hope in the ruins. I would come back to your life is not unraveling, even though it looks like it is. It looks like that thread of that sweater is getting pulled, and you just have this heap of yarn on the floor, this big mess on the floor. But God doesn't work that way, and He wants for you to know that your life unfolds. And when the good and the hard stuff and the easy things in life are all a piece of the puzzle, and everything that happens to you is that unfolding process. So just find hope in that and encouragement in that. It's so important for us to process our emotional pain, because the more transparent we are, the more apparent Christ is. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here to do, is to have people see Christ. And so I just would encourage women to do that. I am offering life coaching to help people do that, take those steps, and it's called Embraced by Hope. That's back where I found that refuge, where I pressed into Jesus, and that verse in Deuteronomy, the one the Lord loves rests between His shoulders. So when you do that, you are embraced by hope. And so I'm offering life coaching for that. And my book is on Amazon.com. It's called Hope in the Ruins by Lori Boroff, and it is available on there or on my website. If you order it from my website, I have a free prayer strategy book that I include with that. So you get two little books for the same, for that price.
And what is your website address?
The website is hope101.net.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll learn about life coaching. They'll learn about my book. And I also interview women on my website on Stories of Hope. So there are more stories on there to encourage you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, I loved what you said. The more transparent you are, the more that Jesus is seen. That is wonderful, because that is so true, because that is what we are to do, is to reflect Jesus to the others that need that hope. Well, Lori, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Golly, there is such a feeling of hopelessness in this world. But whenever we do find the hope in the ruins, we are able to share. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate that. And thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you. So for those of you that are listening, I want to thank you also for joining us. And I encourage you to go over and check out Lori's website, hope101.net. Look at her book, Hope in the Ruins. And just see, you know, maybe she's the one that God has that's to lead you in finding those ways of finding hope and to using those and giving you principles for that. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I just pray that you do seek the hope of the world, and that is Jesus, and that He is your full hope, because there is no other like Him. Out of the things, the troubles, the ruins of your life, I encourage you, share your story. Someone needs to hear it. If you'd like to be on our show, My Journey of Faith, I invite you to our Facebook page, My Journey of Faith Radio, and just let me know that you have a story or you know someone that has a story that they would love to share. And until next week, may God bless you. Bye-bye.